From the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., this is Update One, the club's official podcast. It features newsworthy stories originating from the NPC facilities, as well as broader topics related to journalism, communications, press freedom, and transparency.
I'm Adam Cano here in Colorado Springs at the Space Symposium, an annual industry-focused event hosted by the nonprofit Space Foundation. My guest today is Garrett Rehm, the Space and Emerging Technologies Editor for Aviation Week Network. Garrett, thanks for joining me on Update One.
Thanks for having me, Adam.
I want to talk about your career, but let's first start with your employer. What outlets are part of the Aviation Week Network, and who are your readers and listeners?
The one everybody knows is Aviation Week and Space Technology. That is our legacy magazine, still pretty popular, especially among, obviously, the aerospace set engineers, people who are aviation geeks. You know, we have many, many long-time subscribers, people who've been reading it for decades. Then we have a number of other ones that are more specific. There's a business and commercial aviation magazine, Inside MRO, which is maintenance, repair, and overhaul focused, Air Transport World. And then we have premium products, sort of a digital subscription called Aviation Week Intelligence. And there's a number of different sets that you can get for different focuses on different items.
Your path in journalism included a three-year stint at the Los Angeles Business Journal from 2015 to 2018. What was it like conveying technology stories for a mainstream business audience?
You kind of had to stop and think about, you know, if I didn't know anything about this technology, how would I describe it? Even to the point where you're like, not in a patronizing way, but, you know, how would I describe this to a little kid? Like, simplify it, get rid of the industry jargon. The LA Business Journal, the editors are very good at making sure you're not going native, so to speak, where you're not getting captured by the tech jargon. And so if you can't explain it to your editor, then they don't want you explaining it to your readers. They're very good at instilling that in me. And business journals often are very real estate focused. You know, many of our readers were in the tech industry, but many were also folks in the real estate industry who were looking for new companies to lease space to. And so there was always an interest in trying to understand people's businesses from that aspect too. Although I didn't specifically write for real estate people. They just happened to be a big portion of our audience.
Right. Since 2018, you've worked exclusively on the trade media side, first for the UK-based Flight Global Network and more recently for Aviation Week. What was that shift from mainstream to trade like for you?
I used to report on a lot of startups in Los Angeles, so less formal than your big aerospace companies, and certainly less formal than the U.S. government set. And so that was definitely a big change. Learning the circuit of air shows was a big change, kind of getting used to, you know, going to trade shows and, you know, finding people, training my eye for catching news and interesting new products. So that was a bit different. There are a lot of similarities, though. I mean, they're both business publications, but Flight Global and Aviation Week have a lot of geopolitics mixed in and more technology, more hardcore technology than, you know, Snapchat, which I would report on in Los Angeles. I did some aerospace reporting as a tech reporter in LA, but certainly not as much as I do now.
Before we talk about the news here in Colorado Springs, let's talk a little more about events. For your beat, what is the value of these shows, like you said, now that you're here and now that they've returned post-pandemic?
Yeah, they're super valuable, especially to meet people one-on-one. You can just get a ton of meetings done really quickly, whereas it's harder to do, you know, that sort of scheduling over the phone. You can sort of doorstep somebody at their booth, just show up and say, hey, I'm interested in this. Can you talk to me? And people are here at the show to spread the word about their company, so they're usually pretty willing. And then your eye can catch things when you're at the show that you may not be able to find by just perusing the internet. So I often just walk the show floor and look for things I haven't seen before. So from those two aspects, that's helpful. And then the people often come armed with news and announcements, and they'll have press briefings, or they'll make an announcement, and then they'll be ready to talk when you meet them at their booth.
we're recording this relatively early on in the week, so this may be an unfair question in terms of, you know, things, because there's a lot of news flow still to happen. But coming into this show, what's caught your eye first on the commercial side of space, given the disruptive power of a lot of new entrants in this business, companies like SpaceX and so forth?
Not necessarily the only thing, because there's a lot going on, but one that comes to mind is some of the space robotics work that's being done by a number of startups. I spoke to a company called Calmorris. I think I'm getting that wrong, but they have a essentially like a robotic octopus arm that they're going to be testing on the ISS maybe later this year if they can get it launched, and that would be eventually for capturing space junk. There's a Japanese company, Japanese sort of turned American company called Gitai, and they have recently demonstrated on the International Space Station robotic arm. There's just a lot of labor in space is extremely expensive, and so automation is one way to solve that problem. And so I'm particularly interested in those sorts of companies.
And what about on the military side? I mean, we're in a time of rising tensions, especially with countries like Russia and China that have established space programs that are heavily geared towards national defense. So, you know, what do you look for here?
I focus mostly on emerging technologies. And so I'll be visiting ARFRL. I'll also be, looking at
Air Force Research Laboratory.
Air Force Research Laboratory. And they do a lot of lower technology readiness level type projects. I will also, go around and look for new projects from companies. I think you're going to see, maybe not this year, but in years future, more sovereign projects. You see military budgets going up everywhere, and politicians want to keep money in the country flowing to their own constituents. So Norway's just had a big increase in space or in funding, including for space. Canada has as well. Both those have small but significant space industries. So I would expect to see more sovereign projects, as well as there's still a lot of attempts to collaborate with the United States.
Your editor, Joe Anselmo, who we obviously both know very well, what does he look for from you as a beat reporter in terms of coverage and analysis coming out of an event like this?
We, try to report something every day, and we want to make sure it's news, not just news to us, but it's actually new information. So we try to make sure our readers get the most significant news to come out of the show. We try to find stuff other people don't have. And then we also try to get perspective. So we, in addition to doing these short news articles that are much more what we call newsy, the sort of the who, what, when, where, we also try to do that how and the why, the trend pieces, the analysis, the deeper dives. And so we're gathering thread or coming up with stories by looking at, the bigger things, the bigger stories, and we'll write those out for our magazine and for our readers in the following week.
Significant industry event like Space Symposium here attracts a lot of companies and government agencies, as you talked about, and other organizations, some nonprofits, and they're all trying to generate news. So, I mean, how do you choose, given all the time constraints, not just among, organizations that are exhibiting on the show floor, but all of the, high-profile speakers and such?
Honestly, you have to put yourself in my shoes and know that sort of you have to know the basic news features, which is the, the who, when, where, how, and why. If you write a press release with those things in there, your chances have gone up significantly. Many press releases, sometimes most, don't have those bits, and so it creates a whole bunch more work for me to have to go find the person and fill in the blanks, stuff that should have been just done originally. So if you could just do the basics, that puts you ahead of a lot of others. But then know who you're pitching to. So I'm focused on emerging technologies. I'm not going to want to know necessarily about the, something that's, you want a contract for something that's been around for 10 years. So you want a contract selling something that's been around for 10 years, but, maybe one of our other reporters might. So getting a sense of what kind of coverage any given reporter is focused on. And then having people available and making yourself available. So even if you do a great job of the press release, sometimes you forget stuff or can't anticipate every question the journalist has. But be available to answer questions or have an executive or a subject matter expert available. Because the longer and longer you delay follow-up answers, the less and less newsworthy your story becomes. It sort of becomes stale. Other people have reported it. Yeah, just be ready to answer questions. Unfortunately, a lot of people will put news press releases out, and then they'll say, "Oh, well, we can make someone available to speak to you." And you're like, "Okay, how about today?" And they're like, "Well, what about next week? Isn't that news next week?" So, really, if you master the fundamentals, you're going to be ahead of everyone else. But you would be surprised; many people don't.
Yeah, no, good advice for the roughly half of the National Press Club membership that are actually professional communicators rather than journalists. Aerospace is attracting an increasing number of protesters and others critical of its environmental footprint. How does this impact the technology side from your perspective?
Two-part answer. One is on the space side, yeah, it's true that, you know, if you're burning methane or whatnot to launch a rocket into space, it's, you know, producing greenhouse gases, but it's pretty minimal compared to other industries. And in fact, you know, the industry as a whole is contributing to our better understanding of global warming. The satellites that NASA launches, we wouldn't know about many of the impacts of global warming if we didn't have those. And then actually, NASA has been pretty conscientious when it comes to like junk on the moon and stuff like that, like thinking about like how do we not, you know, create more problems? How do we deorbit junk from space? You know, it's not my job to be the PR person for the industry, but I would just point to the fact that the industry isn't reckless. They're pretty they're considering it not only for environmental reasons, but for their own long-term financial sustainability. Is, you know, if low Earth orbit is wrecked because it's full of junk, nobody's going to be able to launch satellites. And then there, 50% of my job is focused on stuff like advanced air mobility and sustainable aviation fuel. Then the industry is plowing a ton of money into figuring out, you know, how do we make flying greener? It's one of the hardest sectors to green, but they are making some progress, and it's just a complicated subject, and I think they just need to do a better job of explaining it.
Finally, you've been on the aerospace beat for quite a while, whether it's working with industry or government. You see changes in terms of how you deal with sources, whether it's in on the corporate side or on government side. Have you noticed any sort of evolution in terms of how folks relate back to you?
One thing I have noticed is as more startups have come into the sector, I see sort of a techification, startupification of the industry. And the relationships startups expect with journalists. So I came from the tech world, and so I was familiar with startups who expected journalists to be their cheerleaders. You know, you have the tech crunches of the world who are basically, they rewrite press releases and they're rah, 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 go team startup. And you often now get that from some aerospace startups who, you know, will email you saying, could you remove this from your story? We didn't like how this was worded. Can we change this quote that was on the record? And, you know, just ridiculous requests. But they say it with total, earnesty, or I don't know. They don't get it, or they just sort of.
Is it naivete?
Sometimes, yeah. So I try to explain to people the basics of how news reporting works, because the general public, including startups, don't know. And so I don't want to take advantage of their ignorance. I think they just don't understand. But there are also some that are just really aggressive, and they just feel entitled to positive news coverage. In fact, they need positive news coverage to keep their stock price up, some of these, especially some of these SPAC companies. There have been some SPAC companies who I've gotten some requests from. I remember I had one SPAC company was writing a profile, and they knew it wasn't going to be a profile they would appreciate. And so the last email I got was, can you please direct us to your advertising department? We'd like to buy some advertising. Like, I'm not going to respond to that question. But you get sort of some of that stuff from some of these SPACs and startups, whereas some of the, you know, for all their faults, the traditional primes and their public affairs people have a better understanding, maybe because they've been around so long, of the relationship between the PR people and press.
That makes sense. Garrett, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Garrett Rehm is the Space and Emerging Technologies Editor for Aviation Week Network. You can follow his coverage on aviationweek.com, in the pages of Aviation Week and Space Technology Magazine, and elsewhere. For Update One in Colorado Springs, I'm Adam Cano.
You have been listening to Update One, the official podcast of the National Press Club, the world's leading professional organization for journalists and a vigorous advocate of press freedom worldwide. If you have any questions or comments about Update One, send an email to updateonepodcast@gmail.com.